Well, let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and by your spirit, that in your light we would see light, and that in your truth we would find freedom, and that in your will we would discover peace through Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and I am sure that this is going to be a familiar passage to most of you. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, and he came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Friends, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Whenever a couple arrives in my office requesting me to officiate their wedding, I ask them to take an inventory of their lives. And the purpose of the inventory is not to determine whether or not the couple is right for each other or not. Rather, it is to get them talking about things that they probably should consider talking about and that they may not have considered up until that point. And some of the questions that are asked have to do with finances and family backgrounds and values and what each person considers a priority in their lives. And these are conversations that couples should have before they get married. And one of my favorite questions in this inventory is the conversation that is generated when it is asked how many children that the couple wants to have. And both parties have the ability to answer this question for themselves. And I always find it humorous when the groom-to-be states that he wants 7 children, and the bride-to-be states that she wants 1. "Excuse me, have you talked about this with your fiancé? How does she feel about bearing 7 children? And let me know if you feel the same way after you've had 1. There are important conversations, I suppose, and then there are important conversations. John chapter 3 contains one of the most remembered conversations and possibly one of the most important ones of Jesus' ministry. And this conversation is between Jesus and a man by the name of Nicodemus. And the conversation unveils 2 of the most remembered sayings of Jesus, 2 sayings that when they are mentioned, just about every Christian who spent any time in the church has been exposed to at some point in their life. And the first one is, no one can see the kingdom of heaven without having been born again. Actually, the translation in our Pew Bible says, born from above. No one can see the kingdom of heaven without having been born from above. The second saying of Jesus that we find in this encounter is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Two of the most significant truths in the gospel are revealed in this one single encounter with Nicodemus. It's an important conversation. In the play Inherit the Wind, it's a play that is based on the Scopes Monkey Trial of 1928. It pitted two old rivals, Clarence Darrow and William Jennings Bryan, against each other. And the trial is over evolution and whether or not evolution should be taught in the public schools. And when the trial is over and Bryan has won, the two lawyers are left on stage for a moment. And William Jennings Bryan laments out loud to his old friend about how the two of them have grown so far apart. And Darrow has this intriguing statement. All motion is relative. Perhaps it is you who has moved away by standing still. Perhaps it is you who have moved away by standing still. You know, standing still is often an extremely comforting posture to take. And sometimes that's for good reason. Sometimes we discover some time-tested truths about life and faith, and they lead us into deeply held convictions from which we are not willing to budge. Other times we like the idea of standing still because, regardless of how wise it might be to keep moving, it's just more comfortable to stand still. The older the dog is, the harder it is to teach new tricks. We get set in our ways, and that's not always a good thing. I've never been able to convince my mom to get a microwave. She just likes cooking on the stove. We like things the way that they are. We get settled. It's difficult to change. It's inconvenient, too hard, uncomfortable. And sometimes it's just our pride that's at stake. Maybe we've lived our life in a certain way for so long that it can be rather difficult to think that maybe, just maybe, I've got something wrong. It's hard to turn back after you've been down the road a ways, isn't it? In a biography of President Lyndon Johnson by Merle Miller, President Johnson took the time to reflect upon his handling of the Vietnam War. And Johnson said this, "I never felt that I had the luxury of reexamining my basic assumption. Once the decision to commit military force was made, all of our energies were turned to vindicating that choice and finding a way to somehow make it work." You know, regardless of your opinion of that war or of any war, what a tragedy it must be to get to a point where you cannot allow yourself the luxury of reexamining basic assumptions. So committed are we often to where we have settled that we're not willing to give ourselves a chance to consider a new way or a new idea. I suppose that's why I love this story of Nicodemus. If there was ever a man who had a right to stay put, if there was ever a person who felt that it was too inconvenient to consider other ways of looking at things, if there was ever a person who was convinced that he held time-tested truths, it was Nicodemus. John tells us that he was a Pharisee, a leader of the Jews. He had settled right up there in the top ranks of his profession. He had the seminary degree, the tall steeple church, a wall full of books on his in his office that he had actually read. And people listened to him. But what does Nicodemus do? He moves. He literally moves. From the comfort of his home, from the security of his seat on the Sanhedrin, under the cover of night, John tells us that Nicodemus moves. He makes his way over to where Jesus is, perhaps a clandestine encounter, a meeting with this teacher sent from God, as he describes him. And with this movement comes an indication that Nicodemus has opened the door ever so slightly to the possibility of re-examining his basic assumptions. He'd seen Jesus perform as many signs. He had realized that there was something to him. And even though he couldn't imagine that God had anything new to reveal to the world beyond the law and the prophets, he moved over to talk to Jesus just in case he had gotten something wrong. But we need to remember this about Nicodemus. This amazing conversation he ends up having is one that could very well have never happened. It took a person who was willing to open himself up to a fresh conversation. He had a lot to lose, didn't he? You know, no matter what position that we've taken in our lives, no matter where we have settled, no matter how firmly established we are, movement can be a good thing. It's never too late to re-examine our basic assumptions. But realize you stand to lose something when you re-examine your basic assumptions. Sometimes it's a basic assumption about your career. Or maybe it's about a lifestyle that you have or the way that you manage your time. Maybe it's a basic assumption about the ways that you read the Bible. Or an assumption about how you're going to retire. Or maybe it's a basic assumption that you hold about another person or about a social issue. You know, it's never too late to re-examine your life. And Nicodemus moves over to have a new conversation with Jesus. And in that conversation with Jesus, Nicodemus heard Jesus talk about how if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you need to be born from above. And Nicodemus's comment is a quite literal question. How can anyone be born again after having grown old? Maybe a way of rephrasing that question is, can you ever be too old to start over? You see, Jesus, I've moved over to have a conversation with you. I've left myself open to a new teaching. I've allowed myself the luxury of re-examining my assumptions. And now you're telling me that I got to start over? I've got to be born from above? How's that going to work? I'm a little set in my ways, you see. I'm an old dog. I'm on in my years. And now you're telling me I got to be born again? Born from above? How? And Jesus, in a nutshell, tells Nicodemus that his being born from above is a matter of surrendering yourself to the movement of God's Spirit. And the movement of God's Spirit is like the blowing of the wind, and when the wind blows, you can choose to do one of two things. You can spend all of your energy and all of your time trying hard to stand still, to stay fixed, to be immovable. Or you can allow the wind of the Spirit to take you where it wills. When I was in seminary, I worked at an amusement park in Orlando. And that amusement park had camels at it. And during one of the hurricanes that hit the area, I found myself at the park having to make certain that everything was secure. And during the storm, I was taking a walk around the park, and I came across a camel cage, and I saw how camels face the winds of storms. Their faces were buried in their sand, and their butts were in the air. They were immovable. And after I stopped laughing at the sight of the camels essentially mooning me in the middle of 80-mile-an-hour gusts and pelting winds, it occurred to me that the camel's posture could be a metaphor of the way that I often approach my Christian life. I suppose that there's been many a time where I have faced the winds of the Holy Spirit with that same posture. Should we allow the wind of the Spirit to take us? And maybe when we allow the wind of the Spirit to take us, all of a sudden, we live life in a different way. not stuck in the sand anymore. God is taking you to believe and to do things and to experience things that likely you would have never thought that you would ever be able to experience or do. Martin Luther ushered in the Protestant Reformation in the early 1500s. He was an Augustinian monk, deeply fearful of God's wrath. And he felt that he would need to account for every sin that he did not confess out of fear of damnation. And the more that he examined his life, the more he found in every thought and every action was more sin. And the cycle of acknowledging his sin left him in a state of despair, wondering whether or not God could ever forgive him. And he eventually came to the conclusion that what he felt toward God was not love, but hate. Luther couldn't let it go, but rather in the reading of the book of Romans began to develop what became known as the doctrine of justification by faith and not works. And Luther wrote, "I felt that I had been born anew and that the gates of heaven had been opened and that the whole of Scripture gained a new meaning. And from that point on, the phrase, the justice of God, no longer filled me with hatred, but rather became unspeakable sweet by virtue of God's great love." Like Nicodemus, Luther moved. He reconsidered his basic assumption. He wondered if God was up to something, and he opened up the New Testament, and he began a conversation with the rabbi. And he became born of the wind and of the Spirit. And the Reformation was born. You never know where the wind of the Spirit will take you. Now, I don't know where you are in your life. Your life might not have much room for Jesus. You might think that you've gotten everything figured out for yourselves. You might feel that you've got all the answers. You might not even think this sermon is about you. Then again, maybe it is. Maybe there's something deep inside you that wonders. Might there be something more than what you have or where you are? You might be worried that as far along as you've gotten, maybe you missed something. You might feel that your question is dumb. How can anyone be born again after growing old? You might be afraid to open yourself up to a new teaching, afraid of how it may change things for you. But what if, no matter who you are, whether by cover of night or in broad daylight, you took the chance to have a conversation with this Jesus of Nazareth, a new conversation? What if you were to leave your life opened enough that you could hear a new voice, a new teaching from the one called the Messiah? Maybe it will be through reading one of the Gospels. Maybe it will be in joining one of our Bible studies. Maybe it'll be by getting involved in a ministry like the Soup Kitchen or Stephen Ministry or one of the many other ministries that we have going on here at the church. Maybe it will be placing a call to Rick or myself. Are you ready to restart your conversation with Jesus? Because sometimes God seems far away. Because we have been standing still. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night. Amen.